The following presentation is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to a vast array of sports and entertainment podcasts, including The Blind Tag, Thursday Night Destruction, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Neckbreaker, Two and a Half Wrestlers featuring The Pat Buck Show, The Midnight Jury and After Midnight, Inconclusive Breakdown, and The Shining Wizards. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. There are many ways in which you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Perhaps the easiest way is to head on over to iTunes and Stitcher Radio and leave us a review. If you do any shopping at Amazon, go over to ShiningWizards.com and click the Amazon banner. It's not going to cost you anything extra, and a small percentage of your purchase will go to support the show. If you'd like to purchase one of our logo shirts, head on over to ShiningWizards.com/merch and pick one of our latest styles. Or head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards for our Shining Wizards network and tons of other designs. If you'd like to be our friend on Facebook, join us at Shining Wizards. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, do so at Wizards Podcast. And if you'd like to send us any kind of email, you can do so at wizardspodcast@gmail.com. The Shining Wizards Podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, at geekliferadio.com, and of course, at shiningwizards.com. From all of us at the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy.
Hey, everybody. This is former WWE wrestler, ECW original, and current coach at the Monster Factory, the Blue Meanie. And you're listening to me on Shining Wizards Podcast, which is not only the one of the best podcasts in wrestling, but it's one of the coolest t-shirts ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh God, it's been a while.
You just begged us to do this.
Yeah, I had a very small amount of phlegm. It is April 28th, Tuesday night, the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast coming to you from Studio A, Shining Wizards Matt,
Tony,
Kevin,
and it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
What do you think? Was that a pretty good intro?
That was horrible.
I mean, yeah.
Why? That was terrible.
I mean, 5 seconds before we go on the air, you practically begged Tony to do the intro.
He did say it longingly. He's like, can I do the intro?
Yeah, like with puppy dog eyes.
And he came with nothing.
What do you mean?
I thought with nothing.
I thought you were almost going to forget the line, too. You went right into name intros.
He's like, I'm Shining Wizards Matt.
Yeah, look at me. Wearing a Chris Hero
just
shirt.
Welcome just because you two are trying to get me and Eddie replaced doesn't give you the right.
And we're pretty close.
Yeah, dude. To make fun of me to my face.
Hey, listen, I'm happy you're here so I can make fun of you to your face.
You're happy I'm here because I drove.
That's true, too.
You lazy son of a. Your kid is here. God.
Hey, buddy, how's it going?
Hi, great. Hey, Minecraft.
Oh, wait, my kid's got a line for you. Hey, do you want to tell me what your friend said about Sting's bald spot?
Here, come here.
Go ahead. Go by Kevin.
Come here.
Yeah, talking to Uncle Kevin's dirty microphone.
Big bald spot.
Is this the kid that eats the paint?
Yes.
That said this?
Was it thermite paint?
Thermite.
Oh, I forgot this.
Sting.
There you go.
We have Son of Havoc from Lucha Underground on the show tonight.
Does that mean he's Jessica Havoc's son?
Or Corey Havoc's brother?
She spells it with a K.
Oh.
Maybe Corey Havoc's brother, though.
Oh, is she related to Manic? He spells his name with a K.
No.
But Manic is
Are they related
Havoc.
To Wildcat Sports? They spell their name with a K.
It's true.
Yes, it begins again.
You're really bringing that podcast cancer early.
I spell my name with a K.
Ooh.
Look at that.
throwing everything out there.
Wow.
Ugh. Speaking of throwing things out,
big weekend.
Vern Gagne died.
Don't you have a sound bite for that?
Yeah, I'm away from the computer, though.
No, you're not.
Just play him falling off the couch or whatever he did when he was in that home. Body slamming or something.
When he body slamming
Germans?
Yeah. No, but I don't
know. Hey, if you're German and you give a suplex, is that just a suplex? All right, we're off to a rip-roaring start. Well, anyway, yes.
You are.
Patriarch of the American Wrestling Association, former NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion, and probably 17 million-time AWA World Champion, Vern Gagne passed away last night. And it was weird because nobody could confirm it because Mean Gene just sort of texted it out in passing.
And who knows how many cocktails he threw back before he went to his Twitter.
Holy balls, Vern's dead.
Whoa,
fill me up. Tequila. Oh.
He's only been a AWA heavyweight champion 10 times.
Oh.
That's it.
It's about 17 less than
Lawler.
Lawler. Well, here's the trivia. Lawler's a former AWA champion, but Vern was not a former USWA champion. Think about that.
Look at that. Dropping knowledge bombs.
Yes, yeah,
Dropping death bombs.
He's survived by his daughter.
He's like 100.
Who's in jail.
Hold on.
His son, Greg, the master of the dropkick. And
probably playing golf with Jim Brunzel somewhere.
Yes, and for those of you who don't realize, who think Vern Gagne is just another old guy that we should know about, and yes, you should.
Everyone should know about
Vern Gagne. He is responsible for training some of the biggest names ever in the business. Hulk Hogan spent time there. We're talking guys like Bobby Heenan, Jesse Ventura, Mean Gene Okerlund spent time up there, Killer Ken Resnick. You even come into the more modern times, Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig, Scott Hall.
Check out the WWE DVD. If it's not on the network, I think it's like the Glorious History of the AWA.
I'm just scratching the surface with names, too. There's like tons of names.
I mean, I don't know who actually trained under him, but who also just stepped through.
Here,
you know?
I got a small list.
People that trained with him or people that wrestled there?
Gagne trained in whole or part about 93 wrestlers, including his son Greg, Ric Flair, Gene Anderson, Ole Anderson, Dick the Bruiser, Jim Bronzel, Ricky Steamboat. Hennig,
into the microphone, dude.
Bob Backlund, the Iron Sheik, Blackjack Mulligan, Scott Norton, Ken Patera, Jimmy Valiant, Buddy Rose.
Oh, fucking Darso and the Big Boss Man, or not Big Boss Man, but Barry Darso had to go through there.
And the Rocker spent plenty of time in the AWA, too.
Who was like Rick Rude? Rick Rude had to have been there, too, right?
Yeah. Scott Hall.
All those guys from Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Legion of Doom.
Yeah. LOD.
Everybody. I think even the Freebirds spent some time, went through AWA.
The Freebirds.
AWA was a hot territory. Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Nick Bockwinkel was probably the biggest star other than Vern himself, you know, to be in the AWA. Baron Von Raschke.
Pretty sure Andre was there, too.
Oh, Andre, yeah. Andre was a journeyman. He went not journeyman in that sense. He was well-traveled.
But there's a real famous picture of, like, the golden age of the AWA where they show everybody.
Hogan and Andre both in that picture, yeah.
So, I mean.
So, rest in peace, Vern Gagne. That's a big piece of history that's gone there.
It's a murderer.
Wow.
He killed a guy.
Yeah, I know he did.
Brick killed a man.
And he didn't get in trouble because he had dementia.
Oh, speaking of getting in trouble, you want to talk about Booker T last night?
He made like a...
Well, Adrian Neville, or Neville, is the man that gravity forgot. And apparently Owen Hart... Wow.
Is the guy gravity remembered.
You know what, dude?
Oof.
Look, I can understand.
That's not what he said, but it was pretty close.
They could have inserted anybody in there, and he would have said the same line. It just so happens that they picked the most awful person to fill into that space.
Well, they did pick the closest guy to a high flyer than that's won a King of the Ring to Neville.
True, but...
I mean, people said Owen Hart wasn't a high flyer. He was a high flyer.
He was a high flyer for the time, sure.
And I guess JBL said... But something, and Booker T said, "Yeah, but Owen Hart didn't defy gravity."
Yeah,
like
he didn't
the exact
defy.
Word.
Oof.
That's
you know what,
a rough
though?
One.
Yeah, but it's in passing. It was nothing was meant by it.
It's a double meaning. It took on a life of its own. But whoever caught it first, kudos to them.
And he apologized for it too.
Well, I think it's just people are so bored with the product that now they just watch to pick at stuff like that.
And it also reinforces my message that Booker T is the worst color commentator of all time.
See, I don't know. I don't know. They're probably... It's like he defies gravity, so you have to put down everybody else to make him sound better. They just picked a poor guy to use as an example.
And it just and his gimmick is the word gravity. Gravity forgot him. So Booker T obviously was a mistake, but
fact that we're talking about this is just
hilarious. It's a funny story. It's not funny, but
good, Kevin. Owen Hart's death.
Dude, no one's a bigger hysterical Owen Hart fan. I cried. I wore a black band on my arm with the word with the initials OH, and I have people from West Orange High School.
Is there like, do you have a fag button
that play it? I don't care, but I'm just saying.
See, I don't know.
Wait, how long did you wear said armband?
Nah, just the next day.
Just a day.
What are you, a fag?
Just a Monday.
Just for a day?
Yeah, man. It's a long day. It's school.
You made a black armband
out of construction paper and
wait.
A white crayon.
Please tell me you at least had somebody else do this along with you.
No, it was just me.
You couldn't even find a ripped up black t-shirt?
I wasn't an art major. It was just a fucking piece of... Sorry, kid. It was just a piece of paper. And
how well does paper hold around your rinky-dink arms?
Listen, a lot of people... I actually wrote an article for the newspaper about Owen Hart, and I was approached to do it by Mr. Ehrlich.
And did Mr. Ehrlich physically touch you in the...
in my gravity? No, he did not.
In your shaft?
Boo.
So did you get through the... When did you construct said armband?
That night. I remember
at
the
home.
Night. Yeah, at home.
Did you finish watching the pay-per-view?
I didn't watch the pay-per-view.
You just heard it through
the
grapevine?
My buddy Tom Monaco had it on his house, and he would sometimes put the phone up to the TV so I could listen to it. Because my parents wouldn't let me get every pay-per-view.
Couldn't even leave the house to go to Tommy Monaco's house.
My parents wouldn't let me go out on Sunday nights. And they wouldn't let me get every pay-per-view.
Maybe you should listen to them now, and they shouldn't let you go out on Sunday nights.
Hey, I work Sunday nights.
If that's what you want to call it. All right, so you went in your room, little Kevin Garifo's room.
Were you crying the whole time?
I was in tears.
Oh, my God, dude.
All right. And just, this is 1999, right? So I'm not even a young kid. I'm like... Maybe 1999. I was a sophomore.
I cried when Tito Santana lost to the Macho Man. I was throwing things in my living room.
See, now that's stupid.
We need to go. I want to. What is on little Kevin Garifo's wall? Did you have a lot of wrestling posters
of Owen Hart, British Bulldog, Bret Hart?
Sonny. You didn't have a Sonny poster?
I had a Sonny poster that never made it to the wall, though.
Ohio.
Okay, so through
that was under the pillow.
Through the tears and the heartache, you decide. I'm going to wear an armband tomorrow.
Yes.
Did you have to go downstairs? Mom, I need construction paper. Or did you have some in the bedroom?
No, he said it through sobs. Mom. I need.
Dude, go to my Facebook and look at like some of my cover photos and I didn't know Owen Hart, but like I sat down with him for 3 hours and had breakfast with him and the British Bulldog.
Did you win a contest?
My dad used to work for a radio station, WDHA.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
So when they came into town, he got the hookup knowing that we were... That's how I met Taker and Paul Bearer.
So you had pancakes with Owen Hart.
I had pancakes with Owen Hart before he became a pancake.
Wow. Oof. Yikes. For someone who cried about him dying.
And somebody who just made fun of Booker T for 20
quick
minutes.
To make a joke.
Yeah, well, you get over it.
So did you have the construction paper in your room?
I keep looking at
no,
the
dude.
Kid.
He had to go to the closet to get the construction paper out.
No, I didn't know. I don't know. Remember that? But I remember.
Did you wear a wrestling T-shirt the next day?
I think I wore
an Owen Hart shirt.
I didn't have an Owen Hart shirt. I don't think there were Owen Hart shirts when that happened.
More like King of Hearts T-shirts,
Hart Foundation T-shirt.
He wore the Heart and Soul shirt
The Hart Foundation logo shirt.
Okay,
had the Canadian flag, the maple leaf with the Hart Foundation.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah. So wore that.
Excuse me. Jeez.
And I had actually had people come up to me before I even said anything. And they're like, everyone knew how big of a wrestling fan I was my whole life. So they would come up to me and be like, I'm so sorry. Like I think I took it personally.
You did, apparently.
Well, I did that night.
Now, this is May. Did you go to school with a jacket on? Was there a big unveiling? Or were you just...
No.
How do you not know?
Kevin's embarrassed, dude.
I don't care. Listen, I'm proud of that.
I actually
that was my identity. Everyone was like, Kevin was the wrestling fan in high school.
I had somebody come up to me at work today, and she's like, do you remember we talked about Vern Gagne a few years ago when we were working together? I said, yeah. She gave me condolences that Vern Gagne died.
That's see?
Like you know him.
I got that a lot.
Well, I did drop
that
a lot of
that entire day I got it. To the point where my teacher said, hey, Kev, do you want to write something about him for the school paper? And
see,
I still have that article.
You should have took a day off to mourn.
Can I drop knowledge on YouTube dopes too?
What did the guy from PSE&G die that you had to cry about the Ultimate Warrior?
No, there is no possible way the Iron Sheik runs his own Twitter.
I
don't
said
care
that.
What documentary you watched. You're
Who's
an idiot
Sheik?
If you think his crooked, crusty fingers can type.
I said he
did. You watch a documentary?
No.
Did you hear what the guy said?
Wait, it's the same one that you gave me from Justin Anderson.
Yes.
So you didn't watch that?
I haven't
either?
Watched it yet.
Okay.
Oh, so you can't comment, dude?
Because some dork on a DVD trying to make the Sheik look like he's got this big Twitter identity. Oh, yeah, he's got some hand in it. He doesn't have a hand in it. His hand is down the front of his pants, and he's probably watching Showtime all night. You creepy old
Sheiky number one.
Creep.
All right, enough of that then.
You think the Sheik's really up on current events and he knows all about the J.R. Smith and the Bruce Jenner? No, he doesn't know anything. Someone just picks whoever the hot topic of the day is and then writes F you in the A, because your kid's here. The Sheik no like. He put you in camel clutch, make you humble. Do post. It's probably that dork who shows up at all the PWS shows.
I don't follow him on Twitter, so all I see is the retweets. But I said it last week that he couldn't possibly be responsible.
Are you talking about Eric Sims?
Yes. Thanks. I'm glad you got that.
Never mind.
The Iron Sheik.
All right. So that.
Oh, he has a lot of respect for Vern.
Of course he does. He trained him.
Good.
But do you think Missy Hyatt does her own? Because that was the other one we debated.
Maybe.
Oh, Missy Hyatt you'll side with, but not Sheiky Baby.
No,
I'm sorry.
No way Sheiky Baby does it.
Did you see the Iron Sheik at the last PWS show we went to?
No, I didn't. I haven't been at PWS show in a while.
It was when
fan.
We had the table and we did the show there, and the Iron Sheik couldn't walk.
Wait, the last time we were there, we did a show there?
The only time we did a show there.
That was like 2 years ago.
Yes, and he could not walk.
Yeah, okay, so he can't write?
Can't type.
Well, he can't tell somebody what he's feeling, and then they type it in for him.
Dude, you're crazy.
All right, we're spending way too much time on your disbelief in the Iron Sheik's Twitter power.
Well, someone had to say it.
Speaking of creepos, Billy Corgan. What?
How did you skip over the whole King of the Ring?
We're not getting there yet, dude. I'm just touching on news and notes before our guest Son of Havoc.
You know what? If you put it on the dry erase board, I would know what you were going to talk about.
Yeah. Why can't you just go?
I have more fun when we just go off and on. I don't care if we touch Raw or King of the Ring at all. This is fun.
Yeah, dude, we're getting to King of the Ring. Relax.
You went into the Neville King of the Ring thing. We might as well just cover it then.
No, that was the Owen Hart.
That was the Owen Hart
story. Yeah, dude, relax.
That was the storyline that Gravity forgot.
Well, because we're probably not going to talk much about TNA tonight, I figured we might as well mention Billy Corgan at this point. Senior producer of talent and character development, some garbage or other. Yeah, because that's what TNA needs. They need to stop, you know, they need to spend more money because that's the problem. They haven't spent enough. They can't pay who they have under contract. But let's give Billy Corgan some money. I don't get it.
I don't think it's a bad move.
No, it's not, but your company is hemorrhaging money. They're not even touring anymore, dude. It's getting so bad, and pardon the connection to the AWA, it's going to be like isolated in a studio somewhere with like 10 people on folding chairs.
Is that what they were for a while in Florida? Are they back at the Impact Zone?
I have no idea.
In terms of taping-wise, I don't know, but I've watched it, and it's been a good show.
They're bringing in new talent.
Yeah, but how are they paying people? Dude, they've been bouncing checks everywhere.
They're not bouncing checks. They're just...
They're short. They're very short.
They're not getting there in time because due to the relocation of...
No, we talked about that last week.
I know.
And since then, it's come out that people are getting checks, but they're so far behind and there's less money in the checks. Some are as much as $1,000 short.
Anybody we know?
No, but the Spanish announcer actually quit today.
Hector Garza?
Guerrero. No, he's a Guerrero.
I know. I forgot his name.
Don't you know all the Guerreros?
No, I don't. They multiply. They're worse than the Samoans.
What are they? Mogwais?
Yes. Don't pour water on us. We don't take baths. Okay.
I'm trying to pull up fucking TNA shit.
What is there to pull up? There's nothing.
They have the Dollhouse.
The Hardys are the new tag team champions.
That was 2 weeks
ago. Kevin got a retweet from Dixie Carter.
I didn't. I was applying for the commentator's job because Taz quit.
And a response. A retweet and a response.
Did they fill that void yet?
No, probably not.
No, but Kevin? Apparently they really want to.
Well, then Dixie should hit me up. What's wrong there, sweetie?
She probably listens to your abortion of a podcast. Someone probably recommended the Tony Phil Rea tournament.
Boo.
I like cake, you like cake. High five, hot dog fingers, next round.
Wow, you're taking this personal today.
I am fired up. I got like real grumpy at work today, so I just need an outlet, I think.
So picking on Kevin for 10 minutes about the goddamn armband.
That wasn't picking. I was trying to put everybody in a time machine. Go to Kevin's perspective. Feel his emotion. This show is about emotion.
It's about alcohol, to be honest.
And emotion. We had a couple people get all choked up on the show.
Speaking of emotion, Daniel Bryan's been pulled from future wrestling events already, and he was pulled from more earlier this afternoon.
Yeah, I think it's like trying to work it into the show. They did something on Raw with Brie.
Yeah, about that, too. When did they become babyfaces, the Bellas?
Who?
I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't understand it at all. Actually, they're not even baby faces because, if I remember correctly...
Oh, no, they are.
No, they were doing Healy stuff and Naomi was doing babyface stuff.
Did you watch Extreme Rules?
No.
Did you see the match?
With... They cheated.
But did you see Brie Bella trying to get the crowd into everything? Like, knocking on the ring, getting the people to chant Bella, Bella, and then Nikki placating to the crowd, not evilly, just like holding up the belt, smiling and all that shit.
And then they cheated. Didn't they cheat?
Cheat on Raw?
No, on the pay-per-view. Isn't that how they won?
I don't think so.
I thought it was a smack in the head.
Who'd they fight?
Naomi.
Well, I thought Naomi was cheating and Brie stopped the cheating.
I don't know. Cheaters never lie.
Maybe they did the old... flip-flop.
Nah, they don't look anything alike.
Yeah, dude,
anymore.
When I was watching that match, I felt like it was Hart Austin all over again.
What?
See what you did there. Clever. I don't know. I didn't watch the
five
pay-per-view.
Stars. Who cares? The pay-per-view was the drizzles.
Well, they did.
No, it was not the drizzles.
It really was. That world title match was awful.
The match of the night was Big Show Roman Reigns.
And when Big Show Roman Reigns is the match of the night, that's saying something.
Dude, the cage match wasn't bad.
The cage match was awful.
Ooh.
Thank you.
You put up a cage to keep people out.
It's not only that, it was the Kane story. Can they take the camera off of Kane for 2 minutes? It just became like, when's he going to interfere? When's he going
to
interfere?
All right, that part I could give to you know what's about.
It was a cluster F. The whole match was a cluster F.
Although I did like that Randy hit him with the pedigree. I thought that was awesome.
Time to play the game.
That was like a big to the authority. That was great. But then even the commentators are confused because what's his name used an RKO?
Seth Rollins?
Yes. They never really made it clear whether or not the RKO was completely banned.
I think that was the point. Did they follow up on it on Raw?
I don't think they did. I don't know. So you guys want to just get into Raw then? I mean, I guess.
No, what else you got? I like your notes. They're fun.
Let's see. Well, I did have King of the Ring in the notes, but did you guys watch?
Did we finish Billy Corgan?
What else is there to say?
Well, I just think it's a good step in the right direction. I mean, he started his own promotion in Chicago.
Yeah, how come he's not involved with that anymore?
I don't know.
Well, there
he's
you
still
go.
Up maybe and running.
Maybe it's not a good.
Because he's the front man for Smashing Pumpkins?
Oh,
I don't
what have
know.
They done lately? Look, I like Smashing Pumpkins as much as the next guy, but. Come on, let's be honest here. So what else was there with Billy Corgan? He wants to bring transgender storylines into TNA.
What? Like,
can I say it? Ugh, that'll put butts in the seats.
That'll put butts somewhere.
Butts on dicks.
Speaking of transvestites, did you guys check out Too Hot for TV on the network?
No.
Hosted by Jerry Springer?
No.
Oh, it was great. This whole episode was like all like the old love and relationship storylines.
Is that why you went Mark Henry happy on our page
dude,
on Facebook?
Dude, the entire history of Sexual Chocolate was awesome. It was PMS. It was Mae Young. It was China and what was her name? Sweetie? Sweet
no.
Sammy. Sweet Jesus,
Sammy,
you got
yes.
a penis.
Let me ask you, is it done like his show?
Yes, but it was all recaps. Like he goes over and he tells a little snippet like to take you from one clip to the next. Like they did the whole Triple H Stephanie drugging and then they were in on it all along and all that stuff. They did Al Wilson and Tori Wilson, the wedding. They did the whole thing with Lita and Edge with Matt Hardy. Oh, it was great. It was good times. Highly recommended watching, by the way.
Is it going to be like
a weekly thing? I think so, yeah.
Where they like, I guess they'll do like a sibling rivalry one.
Yeah, that's the way it seems. It seems like it's going to be all Springer topics.
Okay.
Now, it was awesome.
You went too hot for TV. What about Rock and Wrestling?
They showed the Junkyard 500 episode with the JYD trying to get his junk mobile used as a vehicle in a movie.
The junk mobile.
And then Roddy Piper came
in. Yes. So they had a big race to decide whose car was going to get used.
I haven't watched it yet because I have a memory.
It's so bad.
Don't see. That's what I don't. That's why I don't want to watch it.
No, it's not. It's so bad. It's good. It's like this was the good stuff, and there's all the extra things too, like Bobby Heenan trying to work out and he can't lift any of the weights. It's great.
They only put one episode on though,
and it wasn't even.
They were all on. And they, I don't know why they made a big deal about it.
It was just the one episode they
aired.
I
could have sworn they were on already on the
network. No, this is the first time. But the worst part is, like, if you watch it on Saturday, it was kind of like a SpongeBob thing where they showed, like, two episodes. Like, I don't think this was a full episode, really. It didn't seem like it anyway. It seemed too fast.
Well, did they have commercials?
No. No, they didn't, no.
There you go.
Was it, like, a 15-minute show?
It seemed like it. It seemed like, that's what I mean. Like, it seemed like it was, like, half and half, you know? But it was great, dude. It brought back so many memories. It was
so
great.
Bad. It's just like all the cartoons that you watch now. They're not good.
I don't know. DuckTales is pretty good still.
Oh, wait. And they showed, I'm sorry, to get back to, what's his name? Jerry
Gagne?
Springer.
Oh.
Sable and Mark Mero, that whole thing.
Yeah.
Where Sable, like, Mark Mero was, like, all proud of her, and then all of a sudden he was trying to cover her up and stuff.
Or, like, he makes her come out in, like, a reindeer outfit.
Yes, exactly.
And the potato sack.
And they showed it, yep, exactly.
I was watching those Attitude Era Raws lately, too, so those are good stuff back then.
By the way, just as a note, Stephanie McMahon, when she was younger, like, in the 90s storylines, much hotter than she is now. Much hotter. Soft Stephanie is so much better looking than hard Stephanie.
No, I think there's an in-between Stephanie that's the hottest one out of all.
It was around that time. Like
when she first got with Triple H, she started wearing the leather.
Dude,
the
outfit she wore, what WrestleMania was it? It was 17 when Hogan fought The Rock, or was it 18?
That was 18 in Toronto? That was 18, right?
Was it? It was Triple H main evented. He
Jericho
challenged Jericho.
Yeah.
Dude, Stephanie had this like green outfit on, managing. Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah. No, she had a good, like, 5 or 6 years where she was like ridiculously hot. Not that she's not good looking now.
Dude, they showed her when she was strapped to the Undertaker thing and they were going to sacrifice her and she was like, Austin was going to go save her. Oh, man.
Yeah, but when she first started, she like. She
didn't where look, to, Stephanie? Oh, man. I'm telling you, Too Hot for TV, they're on to something with that one. That was a great choice.
What else are they? They're putting out a bunch of new. They're doing a Foley comedy thing.
I think that airs Thursday. Wednesday or Thursday? I forget, but that's coming up. Speaking of which, while we're doing the show tonight, we'll be having the quarters and the finals of the King of the Ring tournament. Did you want to talk about that, or do you want to wait till we do the Raw recaps and all that good stuff?
I could care less about Raw outside of King of the Ring.
Yeah, what about pay-per-view? Do we have any real blahs about the pay-per-view? I really was not happy with it. I was bored by it. Bored to tears.
Was it
Although
Ambrose?
I agree with Kevin. The Roman Reigns match with the Big Show actually did tell a good story, and I think people were finally getting behind Roman Reigns on that one.
Ambrose Harper was entertaining. No?
Why did they have to chop it up for an hour? Like, it didn't make
Why did they do that to Piper and Goldust?
Just to get the O.J. Simpson shit in.
Yeah, you see, that served a purpose. But this one really didn't serve any purpose.
I'm sorry, that served a purpose? Was I supposed to really believe?
Because it was meant to be part of the joke. It was topical at the
time.
Yeah,
so why
you know?
Can't this be a joke where they break off and they drive away?
But
and
there was
they
no
back.
Joke.
If they were driving.
They didn't cover it. It wasn't like the blacktop brawl or anything like that. They didn't. You didn't
if
see
they were
what
driving
happened.
Through Baltimore and people were throwing things at the vehicle as it went by, then yes, it would be topical.
10 p.m. tomorrow night, Mick Foley, Cheap Pops.
There you go. Please tune in. Foley's a funny dude. Ask Kevin. He knows all about it.
God.
Stay away from the rape jokes.
Yes.
Freaking Foley. Sorry. We're cool now.
Oh, last bit of news before we talk about anything else. Apparently, Matt Hardy has a GoFundMe campaign.
No. Is that what it is?
Yes.
I thought he was making fun of people for using GoFundMe.
Matt Hardy has so much money, he's trying to raise more money so he could build himself a 2,000-square-foot vault to put on his house, so he no longer has money in his bed.
Did
in
you
his
watch
bathtub.
The video?
Yes, it was hilarious.
All right.
hilarious.
I haven't watched it yet. Maybe I'll do that during the break.
Yeah, and he goes into, it's basically a spoof, and he goes into how people who really have needs should be the one using the GoFundMes, and he makes fun of all, like, he puts people on blast, like, somebody wanted to take a European vacation. Like, it was crazy. Oh, here we go.
Considering I'm one of the most well-known and successful professional wrestlers in the entire industry, many of you probably know me by some of my personas. Version 1, Hardy Boys, or Big Money Matt. Just because I play a living, breathing superhero on TV week in and week out, that doesn't mean I'm not human. Like any other human being, I have struggles and problems. Struggles that I haven't been able to address.
And the music changes.
Right. Some days it's hard to get out of bed. At times, I feel like I've lost control of my everyday life, and I'm at the point where I don't feel comfortable living in my own home. I have a big problem. And at this point, it's something that I'm not ashamed to ask for help. So I'm asking you for help. I need support. I need clarity. I need space to build a vault to store all of my liquid assets. Some mornings it's a challenge to even prepare a bowl of cereal. Whenever I open a cabinet or a pantry, money falls out everywhere. It's a mess. It's so hard living in this home.
That's awesome
it's
shit.
It's truly almost become unlivable. It's like an episode of Hoarders. I have a child coming into this world. I can't let him live in these conditions.
Wife in his mouth. And to think, $100 bills.
The maid doesn't even come until Tuesday. It truly has become a problem. Because I don't have anywhere to store my money, even the most simple task, like finding my car keys, has become nearly impossible. It takes me minutes to actually find them because I have to dig through all of this money. With all this time wasted looking for my keys, I could be tweeting wonderful, inspirational, entertaining tweets. If I could store and organize all of this dirty cash, it would greatly improve dirty my cash. Quality of life. But I need your help. Please support my GoFundMe campaign to build a 2,000 square foot bank vault in my home. With your generous donation, I will no longer be forced to bathe in a tub full of filthy cash. I will no longer be forced to toss and turn on a bed covered with unsanitary money.
Think of the germs.
Of course, your generosity will not go unrewarded.
Holy
every
shit.
Single
isn't this great?
To the Matt Hardy.
All right, now we're just watching TV, but you guys get the point. This is awesome.
Index card.
Get an autographed index card.
At least it's getting
something. Please support my GoFundMe campaign and help me help myself. After all,
Matt Hardy,
I've given you 23 years of entertainment.
Humanitarian.
It's the least you can do.
This is fantastic. Holy shit.
And then he goes into like...
Whoa, stop. The joke's over. Obviously. The moral of this parody is this. Don't abuse crowdfunding. Crowdfunding wasn't created for slackers who were too lazy to go out and work hard to earn the things that all responsible adults...
He's got a point. I mean, it's great that he gives us a PSA on this.
Created as a last resort for people in dire situations, right, desperate right, circumstances.
Enough of Matt Hardy. Thank you, Matt.
You were hysterical for the time we had you.
Kudos, Matt Hardy.
Yes.
Did you guys see the guy that sang Louie Louie died?
Who? The guy from the Kinks?
Yeah.
No, for real?
Not the Kinks, the Kingsmen.
The Kingsmen? Right. Oh, that's right. The Kinks is Lola. What am I talking about?
Wow.
Ooh. That was You Really Got Me.
Dun, da, 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 da. What else you got there, Note Master?
The only other thing is that the King of the Ring tournament has returned.
I don't know how I feel about it being just a two-night shill.
A shotgun.
Supposedly that wasn't the original plan. I have no idea why they changed it, but there you go.
What? So, who do you like?
I don't know who's in it.
Well, you're down to four now.
Okay.
Neville, R-Truth, Bad News Barrett, and Sheamus.
Now, who's wrestling who in the next round?
R-Truth against Bad News Barrett.
That's Barrett.
Neville against Sheamus.
I don't know, man. Sheamus jobbed at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, but you can't do
so
heel,
did Barrett.
Heel.
You can.
And, you know, it doesn't
matter.
Why
can't you?
Well, first of all, they DQ'd Ziggler for, or no, whoever. Who did Sheamus fight in the first round?
Ambrose.
And they DQ'd Ziggler, they DQ'd Ambrose because Ziggler came in and beat him up outside of the ring.
Well, that was stupid that Ziggler interfered.
But if it's outside of the ring, does that ever even constitute a DQ? I thought it was going to be a double countout.
It's dumb. They really...
Again, I was watching without sound and going back and forth with a lot of stuff, so
if someone could clarify. I'm assuming it was a DQ on so, but that made no sense to me. I thought.
Well, I think it plays into Ziggler interfering tonight and letting Neville get the win, and you set up a Neville.
Neville should win.
Bad news, Barrett.
Yeah, but don't you think this is an awful fast push for Neville to
it's
give him?
It's not a
the
fast
win?
Push at all. He's lost every single match before this Sunday, this past Sunday. He's lost every single match except his first one against Curtis Axel.
And the King of the Ring really doesn't give you that clout like it used to. So even if he is the King of the Ring.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to say, though, because King of the Ring's been gone for so long.
Who was the last King of the Ring? Sheamus?
Sheamus.
Wait, so Sheamus definitely is not winning again.
You never know.
Definitely not.
I would not like to see him be a two-time winner of the King of the Ring. I like when they made it like an eight-man all-night tournament.
Yeah, and then you had qualifying matches on Raws or even the pay-per-views before.
And then you had Mabel beating Savio Vega.
There you go.
And you had, dude, I still don't, like, look, all due respect to the dead.
To Shawn Michaels, what, comma?
Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker were in that tournament, and they both got eliminated pretty quick.
Did they go,
who are we disrespecting to the dead, Mabel?
Well, yeah, because he's rest in peace.
No, I don't mind him winning that. It was
that
a big monster going into a feud against Diesel. I didn't care about
time,
that.
That went time limit, right?
Michaels, comma, went time limit. Undertaker.
Undertaker lost to... He lost. He lost outright. He
to got, Mabel, I think.
Yeah, he lost to Mabel. That
via
was it.
DQ or something.
To quote the great Scott Keith, who booked this crap?
I didn't care that Mabel won. I mean, granted, it was the worst... Probably the worst King of the Ring
but
ever.
But, dude, yeah, if you go
but
back and you...
not just because Mabel won.
No, but if you go back and watch it, dude... Shawn Michaels was rocketing to the championship. All indications were that he's going to win that King of the Ring tournament.
But you look back, and I've been watching all these pay-per-views, all the in-your-houses. I'm going back and forth, and some of them don't really make a whole lot of sense. Unless, like, if you don't watch the Raws and stuff in between, they don't make a whole lot of sense. Because one pay-per-view, you have, like, Diesel losing to Undertaker, like, WrestleMania. And then the next month, he's fighting Shawn Michaels for the belt. At Good Friends, Better Enemies, and like Owen Hart fighting Shawn Michaels 1 month, British Bulldog gets six main events on In Your House pay per views.
Which King of the Ring was worse, Mabel or Billy Gunn?
That was 99.
I'm looking at the 95 one now. It's
pretty rough.
It's rough.
And well, that whole time frame, that the New Generation stuff, all of it was pretty rough.
But you had Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker in there, and those
you
were
also
your selling
could've...
points.
But Shawn Michaels also was still not yet getting that rocket push yet.
Yeah,
I think
he was...
also fought Owen Hart in between there. He also fought, I don't know, maybe that could have been it. He was going back and forth with a bunch of different guys. Maybe, like, I think he beat King Kong Bundy in the qualifying match to get there. And Savio Vega beat, like, IRS that night.
Yes.
But a whole lot.
And he beat Yokozuna in the first round.
It was so bizarre
and
how
Yokozuna beat Lex Luger
stuff
on TV to qualify.
On Raw, yeah.
Ugh. All that buildup with Luger and Yoko, and Yoko just beats him in a TV match.
And then Luger jumps to WCW.
The first round TV qualifying matches for 99 are awful.
And the weird
one match went over 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Billy Gunn beat X-Pac in that final. Correct?
You know what the messed up thing was? X-Pac was hurt, and they pushed him to the finals while he was hurt. That's crazy.
Well, his bracket was him, Hardcore Holly, China, and Road Dogg.
Yeah, but to not go with Road Dogg and Billy Gunn, that was the match people wanted. That's the match they should have went with in the final.
All right, you guys want to... I want to continue this discussion, but we got to...
Yeah, we'll take a break now.
I would like to continue the King of the Ring discussion.
Talking King of the Ring?
Yeah, when we get back.
Yeah, we've hit on something good here. So, folks, we're going to take a break, a little bit of commercial time. When we come back, we will be speaking to Son of Havoc. You may know him as Mad Dog. We call him Friend.
Yeah. Mad Dog?
Something like that.
M-Dog 20.
Yeah.
Mad Dog?
You never drank MD-20 when you were
growing up? No, I just don't think anyone's ever referred to him as Mad Dog.
What do you think M-Dog stands for? It doesn't it? You can ask him.
We'll ask him when we come back.
Well, you can ask
him. I do think of Mad Dog 2020, though.
Lucha Underground star Son of Havoc joins the Shining Wizards podcast next.
You probably have 80 podcasts in your queue that you'll never catch up on, but I bet none of them cover the worlds of professional wrestling and heavy metal music.
That's where Neckbreaker fills the gap. We drink a truckload of beers, interview the best metal bands, and cover the latest pro wrestling headlines, all in one drunken mess of a podcast.
Find our episodes on iTunes, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, and neckbreaker.net. Be sure to follow our drunk and irrelevant updates on Twitter and Facebook at NB Podcast.
Shalom, it's the unprofessional Jewosaurus, Jay Sovet, right here to tell you about Two and a Half Wrestlers Podcast. It's myself, Kevin Matthews, Pat Buck, and our newest member, former WWE superstar Kurt Hawkins, now going as Brian Myers, because the man needed something else to do on Monday nights now that he was free. Two and a Half Wrestlers Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course, right here at Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, it's your boy, the Impact player, Mr. Phil Rea, inviting all of you, when you're done with this podcast, head back on over to the Shining Wizards Network. That's right, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, where myself and Dave Mega Powers are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, covering everything from the current to the way back. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks on the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, entertainment here.
Hi, this is Justin.
And Tim.
And Vince.
And Timmy.
And we are your hosts of the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, bringing you the best in entertainment news and opinions. We cover the worlds of movies, TV, music, sports, video games, comic books, and of course, professional wrestling, as well as pop culture top 10 lists and fan castings. New episodes every Sunday. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
What's up? It's Mike from The Midnight Jury. The Midnight Jury is a podcast where you, the listener, are able to be transported back to the 80s and 90s every Friday to talk about everything pro wrestling, pop culture, and horror. From segments such as My Five Fun Facts in Under 2 Minutes and Adam's Finally Rediscovered, to past guests such as Jake the Snake Roberts, Buff Bagwell, and the horror icon, Chucky himself, Ed Gale, you will find yourself going back to the days before iPhones and social media, to when it was all about records, Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Find us on Facebook and Twitter and join myself and my co-host Adam every Friday on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Audioboo for the Shining Wizards Network, and Fridays at 5, 4 Central to start your weekend on Geek Life Radio. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
What's up, everybody? This is Dave Destruction of Pro Wrestling Syndicate, and I'm here to talk to you about Thursday Night Destruction. Join me every Thursday night exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network, where we talk about the world of professional wrestling, professional sports, and I might give you a couple tips on how to live your life. Join me every Thursday night for Thursday Night Destruction exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the line, he can be seen every Wednesday night on the El Rey Network. He is the newly crowned Trios champion, the one and only Son of Havoc. Mr. Havoc, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking. Your voice is not very Havoc-y.
Yeah, there's something magical about the temple itself. You know, I once saw Drago at the grocery store, and he looked a little less dragon-like. So something happens when we enter those hollowed doors, and kind of assume these roles. And when Mortal Kombat meets Bloodsport, is what I like to think of Lucha Underground. You know, things anything is possible, and certain things happen.
Yeah, you mentioned Lucha Underground, an overtaking of the wrestling world. It's provided such a great alternative to wrestling fans who aren't really into the WWE product and don't like TNA. What made you decide to sign with Lucha Underground in 2014?
Yeah, it's actually an interesting type story, because this is the first, as far as I can remember, the first wrestling contract that I've ever signed. And it's far from the first wrestling contract that I've ever been offered. But it's like I take a lot of pride in this. I feel like I never sold out. I always stayed true to myself. And when I saw a product as revolutionary as this, it was something that I wanted to be a part of. Ultimately, we're all fans of pro wrestling, myself included, of course. And I've wanted to see change in this business that I love for, the 14 or so years that I've been involved. And I can't remember the last time something was genuinely new and fresh and exciting and just like a reworking, a reimagining of wrestling. And this, you know, idea was kind of pitched to me, and it certainly sounded interesting, but those of us familiar with the wrestling business know that, you know, there are a lot of promises and a lot of things that could have, should have, would have happened. And so I was skeptical. This sounded kind of too good to be true. And now here we are some 8-9 months in, and it remains too good to be true, but it still somehow is. And yeah, I saw, you know, what they had planned. And once we got down there and started working with these people, and they started treating us so well and so professionally, and I saw that, you know, they are just reworking everything from the ground up, and we are the change that I've wanted to see forever. You know, this is something I take a lot of pride in, and I want to be a part of, because it's not just somewhere to go to practice my craft. It's not somewhere to go to be seen. This is something where we're all together as a unit, like forging ahead and creating something new. And then that's just that sense of excitement, I think, permeates through the entire roster and the people behind the scenes as well. We're in this unique situation where we are actively and currently like revolutionizing this industry, and I wanted to be a part of that. I think there's a lot of things that needed to be changed, and I think we're going a long way in doing some of that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you've been there since day one with your defeat of Sexy Star. And I know we have a lot of fans out there who are big wrestling fans. No surprise that Under the Mask, there is the man known maybe more popularly as Matt Cross. Whose idea was it for you to don the mask and become Son of Havoc?
I think it helps get me in the zone. It fits in the Lucha Underground universe. You know, when I put that on, I know it's time to bring that chaos and bring that havoc. And they wanted a handful of guys that could kind of bridge that gap. I mean, ultimately, this is a television program, but they wanted to feature Lucha Libre action, Lucha Libre style, but they didn't want it to be so true to Lucha Libre that it would lose touch for an American audience. Otherwise, why not just air, you know, AAA in America or something like this, where there's countless hours of footage already available? So I wanted it to be a new, fresh product, and I was just thrilled to be included in a list of guys like, you know, Johnny Mundo, who, you know, was part of the select few that they thought could kind of had, you know, respect and understanding of Lucha Libre, had the experience, had the excitement and everything associated with them to want to work on a project like this and to add to it and to be some of the, you know, American, you know, representatives or something like that to kind of be a part of the show.
And it seems nowadays, like every other week, you look at the news sites and there's some promotion getting a TV deal. And it seems like there's a lot of variety that's going to be available in the near future. What do you think? Because Lucha Underground obviously has a very distinct take on professional wrestling. Obviously, the action speaks for itself. But there's also a theatrical feel to Lucha Underground when you do watch it on El Rey, especially when it comes to the authority figure, Cueto. Do you think that will benefit Lucha Underground in the long run, that you almost have this theatrical type product that does not lose sight of in-ring action?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it just completely sets us apart, because it's almost like a television show about wrestling and not a wrestling television show. Like, Cheers was a show about a bar, not like, you know, like not just like a reality show about like a bar happening. Or it's so different and fresh. And I think, you know, again, we're not even that old. We're, you know, we just kind of finished up season one, or we're in the middle of season one. And when you watch other products and you kind of see someone standing next to someone with a microphone and, oh, good evening, and what are your thoughts on this? It just already comes across so tired. And maybe before that, people never questioned it because that's the way it's always been. But that idea that permeates most of professional wrestling of that's the way it's been is now being questioned fundamentally. And they're making all those changes to make something new and fresh. So I think when you go back to other things and, okay, so Sunday we'll see you at such and such, what are your thoughts? It just comes across like, really tired and really old, and we've just come upon this new way of presenting professional wrestling, and it instantly sets it apart. I mean, I feel like if you're flipping through the channels and you came across all those cinematic vignettes, you'd be like, oh, what is this, Breaking Bad? Or like, what, this is some kind of television show. You wouldn't even interpret it as like, I bet you this is a pro wrestling show. And I think that's great, because then I think it caters to non-wrestling fans as well. Or it can bring back, you know, wrestling fans who've kind of lost touch with wrestling or lost their love. Or I think for too long, and in like most recent memory, the fans have just been insulted more or less. You know, they're just kind of treated as this afterthought, or this, I don't know. I think entertainment at large has gotten more involved, and I think people expect more out of audiences now, and audiences expect more out of shows. Like, if you look back at the Brady Bunch, for example, back in the day, it was just, okay, here's what happens. It's all wrapped up in a neat little box at the end. And compare that again to a show like Breaking Bad. Like, Breaking Bad has all these nuances and tiny little things, and the viewer is rewarded because they remember some callback to episode 2, and now we're at episode 9, and you get a greater enjoyment out of the show in general because you can, you know, call back to all those experiences and remember all those little things. And I think that is telling of today's consumer. They're just smarter in general. So I think wrestling hasn't evolved with the audience, and the audience expects newer, fresh things. They expect that, like, again, don't insult them. Like, you can, they're going to follow along with these storylines. You can, Lucha Underground's just been so great about planting all these little seeds here and there. So it rewards you for watching the whole season. It's only an hour long, so it doesn't feel like a chore. There's just so many things working in our favor. And yeah, the way it's being shot and presented, of course, sets us apart. You know, I mean, I think that's really, really obvious.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't give it that wrestling show feel, as you mentioned. I want to just change gears a little bit, and these guys are probably going to scoff at me and make a face. Your beard is fucking majestic. It is amazing.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I don't know why you would think I would scoff at you.
My biggest fear is maybe they stray towards the Lucha tradition, and I don't want to see like a beard versus belt match. Oh God, would you ever even entertain the idea? I'm seriously concerned about such an idea.
That's a good question.
Because I can't grow my beard. Like, I see your beard. Like, my beard isn't that long right now, and I'm like chewing on my mustache hairs.
Your beard is pathetic. Just
driving
say it.
Me freaking crazy. I just, so much time goes into it.
God. He loves the beard.
I enjoy a nice beard.
So basically, would you ever entertain a match where the beard would be on the line?
I've already won, not in Lucha Underground, but outside of it. I've already won a beard versus career match. So I don't know if anyone will have to go barking up that tree. I mean, there's a guy who's not even in our business anymore because he tried to put the beard on the line.
Now, how long has that beard been growing?
I haven't shaved for just shy of 3 years.
Wow.
Because when... I don't know if you recall, but you were on our show way back in the beginning, and I don't even think your beard, you may have just started growing the majestic beard.
It's possible, yeah. I didn't really have a plan for it. I just had a plan to stop shaving. And then when it started to come in as it comes in, like, people think I spend all this time on it, or I'm like grooming it constantly and shaping it and all this kind of stuff. And up until like very recently, like, scissors had essentially like never touched it. Like, I just wanted to see what would happen. And when it came in, how it did, and it did have like this, like, kind of, I don't know, it's a stretch to call it iconic, but it had this certain ideal shape to it. I was like, wait a minute, I feel like it's my duty as a human being and part of the human race to like have this. Like, if it's going to come in this well, like, I can't. I mean, for all so essentially, if you're not happy with your beards, for those that don't, you know, mine is here, representing all the beards of the world. For those that can't, I do, and mine is here, so.
I appreciate that. My beard looks like Butthead when he glued his pubes to his face. It's horrendous.
I do remember that episode.
And I get the weird, like, Jewy curl thing going on, and it just doesn't look right, and it's a mess. What do the ladies think of the beard?
Oh.
It's hit and miss, if I'm to be completely honest. I would say, in general, I wouldn't recommend it if that's your goal. More often than not, they are turned off by it. But the ones that like it, like super like it, so
nice.
It's kind of good too, because then I don't think there's anything else like it where you couldn't wear an orange shirt and people would be like, meh, stupid orange shirt, and then have like one girl who's like, oh my god, an orange shirt, and like freak out about it. But like beards can and do have like this magic on certain people. It's not the majority by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah, people can and do feel strongly about it at times. And, yeah. Can work in your favor.
Yeah, my fiance, she won't let me shave my face because I think she hates it. So I've had a beard for almost 5 years.
Have another beard.
There you go.
But this is taking a whole turn for this is we've wandered off in the left field. We'll bring it back to the wrestling talk.
Matt just feels a need to get his man crushes out at the beginning of the interview.
Look, I'm gonna. This beard is epic, bro. I have a picture from TV last week when Son of Havoc here successfully became the first ever Lucha Underground Trio champion. Look at that thing.
Yeah, it's pretty epic.
But what about the belts? Talk about the belts, Tony. Tony's a huge belt fan.
So let's talk about the belts. Do you like them?
The belts are amazing. I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, everything they do is just they put time, attention, and detail to. So, I mean, all the belts are, you know, so cool looking, and these are obviously no different. I mean, I remember when I kind of first caught a glimpse of them backstage, and I was like, oh, that's freaking, those are nice. So, yeah, it's awesome. Maybe even to tie everything together, I should ask for, I wonder if legally we're even a trio. We might be like a foursome or something, because maybe my beard itself needs like another belt. A little one.
We're going to tweet that out to the Lucha Underground, and we're gonna get that going. What does it mean to you to be chosen to represent the company as a part of the first trio's champion?
It's awesome. I mean, it's a part of history, and I feel like the show is history for someone like myself. I mean, the very, very first episode, which you alluded to, I mean, I've been there since the beginning. So the very first episode had 6 people. So whether the show, is gone tomorrow, which I don't foresee happening, or goes to, like, the craziest heights ever, which I do foresee happening, it's a part of history. Like, I was in the first ever episode. So when they go back and just be like, oh, where did this thing start? Like, where did this phenomenon start? Like, maybe people missed the original ECW, and now they only hear about it nostalgically from all of us, like, older guys who are like, that was the coolest thing ever, and it got me into this business. Like, I feel like that is what Lucha Underground is going to be to the next, you know, generation. And so when it's kind of people go back in time and see its humble beginnings, if you will, I'm it's an honor to have been one of, again, 6 people that comprise that episode. So it's, you know, similarly, who knows what kind of trios will come in or be formed or compete and where it will go. And it could be many years from now and who knows what the belt lineage will be. But, I mean, it starts with us, and that's insane. I mean, if you look at, right, I was a wrestling sexy star on the very first episode, and I think Eva Lise might have joined me on the second or third, and then Angelico came in like early 2015, and it's just, we've had this crazy ride that people just resonated with. I mean, this past Wednesday's episodes when we won the belt, I mean, I've been involved in professional wrestling 14 years and done a lot of things that I'm proud of, and I want to say this was the most feedback for anything that I've ever got. I mean, my social media channels and everything just like really blew up, and I was getting touching things too. I mean, just one line emails from people in Mexico or in Europe, but just being like, that was the coolest thing I've ever seen, or it brought me to tears. I got several of those, and it was just, I was touched reading the responses of people and how touched they were. And we knew it was a special moment. I mean, obviously having been a part of it and being in that temple, and it did have this crazy feel of, success. It's almost funny how the show is only an hour, and it's almost unfortunate because I remember our celebration alone was like about 10 minutes, and we were the last match, so we had time to play with there, but it's like it happened and we had created something and just everything came together. It was pro wrestling at its finest. Like that's what I aim to do. That's my view of the business. It's like you hope to create these like moments in time. And I think Wednesday night we created a moment. And when we saw the original like line cut of the episode, the celebration itself was like 10 minutes, and not like a forced 10 minutes, not a boring 10 minutes, like 10 minutes of these people just like just soaking it up. And I felt like we were part of them. It wasn't like they were just like, they were showing appreciation for us, but like we were, you know, equally showing appreciation for them. And it was just this really nice, neat moment when wrestling at its best and everything just kind of works out.
Absolutely. And it was a cool moment to see on TV. And you mentioned when the show started, you were one of six. And obviously that has expanded. But to me, every time that I turn on Lucha Underground, it still seems, and yeah, people have come and gone and additions have been made to the roster, but it still seems like there's this core group that is focused on, throughout the Lucha Underground series. And is that because it's only an hour show? Is that because you don't need anybody else? Because the talent there is that good? Is that more of the TV aspect of it? Because again, it seems like there's a core guys that just are there, and it seems like that's good enough.
Well, what I like about the show, and I've talked about this with some of the other talent stuff, and they have agreed, is I feel like anyone could essentially fight for any belt at any time and win, and I think that's insane when you think about it in the larger context of professional wrestling. Like, could I be the Lucha Underground champion? I think so. Could Alberto Del Rio be the Underground champion? Absolutely. Could Johnny Mundo win the belt tomorrow? Yeah. Like, there's just so... Could Drago win it? Yes. Like, would if Phoenix won, would anyone complain? I don't think so. Like, so when you start thinking about, like, just the crazy possibilities about how everyone is a threat and how everyone is legitimate, I think that is a testament to the promotion and to the writing team and to just, you know, to everyone. That's awesome, because then, to me, every match means something, because everyone is trying to, like, you know, advance their career and whatever. So, I mean, the fact that so many people can be featured so prominently in just an hour, I mean, that's I don't even want to call it a setback, because I think it's more positive than negative, to be honest, because if you're trying to get someone back into professional wrestling or someone to test a new product, and it's like this amazing hour, I think that's great. When I sit down and watch other things, for me, they feel like a chore. So, it's like, oh, I'm watching this because I have, or I'm watching this because I'm supposed to, or there's not that excitement. It's not ECW back in the day where I'm watching it because I want to and I'm looking forward to it and I can't wait. So it is only an hour program, which I think is great. So, I mean, you can't have everybody on it at every time, but it's like there'll be episodes, I think this past weekend, you know, for like, you know, the champion Puma, who's freaking obviously amazing. He wasn't on it, but I don't think anyone was complaining. And there's going to be episodes, obviously, where the trio's champions aren't on, and I don't think anyone will complain. So I think they've done a great job of kind of balancing everyone around. And I think, again, the testament to that is that I think anyone could almost win any belt at any time. And that is, you know, shows how well they've done kind of creating this universe.
And I completely agree that when a character is missed from a show, and you don't see him that week, and you're kind of like, oh, where is he? But then you see him next week, and you're like, they don't skip a beat. And you mentioned that everyone is a threat, and we haven't seen that in the broad. Let's broaden this to all of professional wrestling. We haven't seen that. Many will say, probably since maybe the Attitude Era of WWE, when you had six or seven guys on top. Why do you think it took so long for a program to get the picture that more than three guys or two guys could be involved in top stories and being that threat?
Because, I mean, to be brutally honest, so much of our ideas and understanding of what professional wrestling as an art form is actually one family's interpretation of it. And it's, you know, it's how one person and one family wants and likes things himself, so that's how it's presented. And then that kind of rules the industry because they very nearly have a monopoly. So here's new people coming in with new ideas, and ultimately this is an art. So now there's more than one artist. I think it helps us that it's television people, because a lot of what hurts professional wrestling, in my opinion, is, I don't want to call them traditions, but certain ways of doing things and not questioning everything and just kind of chalking it up to, well, that's how it's always been done, or that's how we do it, or that's how it, you know, it's like this old boys club and this old mentality and people set in their ways, you know, that's, and now here's new people with new eyes doing new things. And again, because they're television people, they don't do, they don't, oh, well, wrestling does this, so we'll do this. Or you're supposed to do this in wrestling because that's how it's always been done. Like, they don't have those, what often are misconceptions. So they can come in and be like, this would be cool, this would be cool. And they're thinking about it from just storyline-wise, you know, dramatic effect. They're thinking about it in terms of a television show, which they all, without exception, are full-time professionals at. So instead of just having these, like, random, silly wrestling people, you now have, like, television professionals telling stories through the medium of professional wrestling. And, I mean, to me, it's just, it's magic, you know, it's great. It's just to have that fresh set of eyes and that fresh opportunity to present it, I think is why it's coming across the way that it is.
Yeah, we couldn't agree more. And for you guys out there listening, remember, if you don't get a chance to watch Lucha Underground, I highly recommend you check it out.
If you don't have the L-Ray
Network.
The
L-Ray Network, I don't. I watch them on YouTube. They do put them on one of my Spanish stations on Saturdays, but it's in Spanish, and I prefer to hear Stryker and Vampiro, especially because Vampiro brothers it up big time. So every Wednesday night, the L-Ray Network, you can see the Son of Havoc. Mr. Havoc, maybe a change of gears with what WWE is doing now with Tough Enough and you having a little bit of experience there. A lot of people complaining that it's all fixed, it's all horse manure, if I may say. What are your thoughts of them bringing it back, and is it really the way to go about finding new talent? Because I know you were on the first, not the first season, but
the resurrection of the USA.
And I mean, it's disgusting that you were eliminated first, and that the young lady that is one of your trio champions, she was also eliminated, and
sure.
And it's just it feels like who's ever in charge of this stuff is just missing the talent. What are your
thoughts?
Well,
I don't think that's the point. I don't think that they're looking for talent. I don't think they're trying to advance the agenda that way. They're trying to make a television show. Mm-hmm. A television show that fills up time. They conveniently have a network that needs programming. They have an audience hungry for more and more content. So they're creating content through the medium of television. And that's what Tough Enough is 100%. So if you are after 15 minutes of fame, for example, if you would equally want to try out for, I don't know, America's Coolest Chef or Survivor or Real Housewives of New Jersey, if those are things that you love and you'd love to be on them because it's the same people making those shows that do this, then I highly recommend it after you, in an attempt to get your 15 minutes of fame. Now, if you have a love or passion for professional wrestling, if you'd like to get in this business, if you'd like to advance your career in this business in any negligible way, shape, or form, I can't stress enough that Tough Enough is not the way to go.
All right, there it is, the insight. And Havoc, it seems like ages ago that you were involved in a project called Wrestling Society X. And it seems like I watched, knowing that we had you on our show yesterday for today, I went back and watched a couple episodes, and I'm not saying that it doesn't have that Lucha Underground feel, but there are a couple similarities in the way the arena is set up and how the fans are located and stuff like that. I guess because maybe it's a studio show, I don't know. How would you compare your time in that short-lived program of Wrestling Society X to Lucha? Obviously, Lucha, I mean, is the place to be. But did you see any similarities signing on board with Lucha Underground comparing to Wrestling Society X?
I mean, in look, there are similarities, but I don't think that's a stretch. If you and I met today in person and sat down to make something radically different, it's not surprising that we might come up with a similar concept. If we're trying to make something that speaks to a new generation, to a younger generation, something that's cooler and not as stagnant, I mean, it's not insane to think, like, let's make a really cool set and not a stadium, you know, like a giant stadium. And obviously other companies have to work with giant stadiums because they're on the road all the time. So that's no fault of their own. There's no way they can work around that. But we can use that to our advantage because we don't have to. We can have a home base, and we can decorate that home base how we want to. So if you're going to shoot a television show that's not going to be stadium-based, you might, you know, kind of all come to the same or similar look. So in look, I think when the show was announced, a lot of people kind of jumped on that, like, oh, it's going to be the same, or it's the same, or you know, blah, blah, blah. I think I heard a lot of that right before we started, as we were starting. I don't think I've heard much or any of that now, personally, because I think this show kind of speaks for itself. I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, we filmed Wrestling Society X the entire season in, like, a week, doing, I don't know, two or three episodes a day for 7 to 10 days, if I remember correctly. So we went there. We did a whole season of TV. That was a lot of fun. It was great. I loved it. And then we left, and now that's been 2006.
Right.
I think we filmed it, so 9 years ago. So that's the fond and distant memory. And this is just very different in that we're going there all the time. Just I think the people involved are a little different. It's, you know, I guess the biggest difference is that that was a show that someone put together and then tried to get it on a network and then was able to talk MTV to trying it out. And then MTV had a change of a change in the guard and kind of hired new people. And when they came in, they were like, what is this, wrestling on MTV? No. So it was like an uphill battle the whole time. Whereas Lucha Underground on the El Rey Network, it's the El Rey Network themselves is like, that's like, mm-hmm. We want original content that's awesome. We have the means to do it. Here we go.
Right.
So that alone puts us in this crazy, unique situation in professional wrestling. Because if you take, like, TNA recently had to go to networks and be like, oh, God, please put our show on. And then go to a different network and be like, here's the show we have. Please, somebody do something. Oh, my God, please. Whereas, you know, just trying to pitch it to networks, and networks are like, oh, wrestling. Ours, and that's historically, I think, how the wrestling business has worked. Now, the network itself was like, we want wrestling, and we don't want to just shop somewhere else and do it. We have our vision of what it can be. So from the ground up and from scratch and with the best people possible, we're going to make it, and we're going to do it. So it's not like Wrestling Society X was, you know, trying to sell itself to MTV that ultimately was like, you know what, maybe no. Whereas there's no maybe no on the side of El Rey Network now, because it's their idea, it's their show, it's them, you know, really, really giving this thing a chance. So I think that's the biggest difference. Yeah, and look, and sure, it's like if you try to feature up-and-coming guys and next-level talent and innovative wrestling, like, you're going to have similar things, and that's why there's similar people involved on the talent side. But yeah, I don't really feel like I get too much of, because again, that was, I think, 3 episodes actually aired and 9 years ago. So it's only like the hardcore wrestling fans that I think would even know stuff like that.
Right. I would be remiss to not bring up Smash Wrestling before we let you go. I know you had a big battle this weekend with Johnny Gargano, who led the fourth gun into Smash Wrestling, kind of ran roughshod all over them. What's the future hold for yourself in Smash Wrestling before we wrap up with the Lucha Underground?
Sure. I mean, my sights are solidly set on winning back what I believe is my belt, similar to Lucha Underground becoming the first ever Trios champion. I was the first ever Smash Wrestling champion. And I held the belt for close to 2 years. And as we all know, in this day and age, that's pretty much unheard of and insane. Or I shouldn't say, I misspoke. I didn't hold the belt for 2 years, but I was undefeated for 2 years. So from their first show moving forward, and including my title victory and all that, I just went undefeated for I think, just over 2 years. And this is not some, fluffy promotion. This is, I highly recommend checking them out, smash-wrestling.com. But, I mean, they're regularly using, you know, Chris Hero and Alex Shelley and just top-notch Canadian talent. And they're bringing in a lot of guys. There's some heavy hitters up there. So it's not some, like my promotion or something in my backyard. This is a real deal place. So, yeah, I want to give back my belt because I think championships are earned. I think that's what's great about them. fans can want them all they want, or anyone could want to hold it and just get a taste of what that is like. But, you know, they're ultimately they're not bought or sold or bartered or traded. They're earned, and you earn that through the blood, sweat, and tears you sacrificed to be involved in this. So as it stands now, I was essentially screwed out of my belt, lost it not cleanly to Alex Shelley, who then didn't come back. So I think he disrespected the fans and the company, and then he handed it to his friend Johnny Gargano, who is now, in my mind, the paper champion. So, yeah, I'd like to get that back and defend the honor of not only Smash but pro wrestling in general, because I think people that put in the work deserve the titles.
And then Lucha Underground, as we bring this interview to a close, I mean, is being the Trios champion enough for you, or is that just a stepping stone to get to the top?
I'm just soaking it all up right now. I mean, it's just so incredible, too. The feedback's just rolling in for this past Wednesday's episode, and it's just so great to be a part of that and be the first ever champion. So, I mean, I know there's a lot of cool stuff coming, and... yeah, I want to hold on to these belts. I don't want it to seem like a fluke, because I know that me and my teammates don't always see eye to eye, and we don't often see eye to eye. So we're very different people with different backgrounds and different opinions. So it's kind of a circus trying to get us all on the same page and same place at the same time. So I'd like to show that. But I think, you know, ultimately we all realize the importance of having this belt and the historical significance. So hopefully I can lead these guys, and we can realize that when the belts are on the line, you know, that is greater than any differences that we might have. So I just hope to keep those belts forever. And now, as I've alluded to throughout the interview, I think nothing's off the table. So, you know, I love the rise of myself. I love the story that's being told. I love how I went from losing to Pimpinella and losing to Masquerita Sagrada to now, you know, being in such a different place and such a different position. And I think that's the fans, you know, following along with the product and respecting a guy that was there from the beginning. Whenever he had a chance, he took it. Whenever there was an opening, he was there, and I'm just giving it my all. And I'm someone, you know, there's not really, I think Booker T would always say, there's not really luck, there's just when preparedness meets opportunity, and that's my view of myself in Lucha Underground. I mean, I can't tell you the countless Friday nights that I spent in a gym by myself training my ass off and literally saying in my mind as I went through rep and rep and rep of working out, I want to be a pro wrestler, I want to be a pro wrestler, I want to be a pro wrestler, to the point where it's like nearly embarrassing to admit. I mean, that would be often Friday nights, just repeating in my head when I push weight as hard as I could, and being to the gym till I threw up, and because I knew what it takes to succeed in this business, and I knew that I have everything that it takes, and I've put in so much time, and I'm just an opportunity away. And sometimes, you know, luck works in your favor or not, and I was like, as soon as something opens up for me, and then when this opened up for me, it's like, this is all I could have ever asked for. I mean, this is, again, this amazing new show with new talent looking to showcase guys like me, and the instructions that I've essentially been given are, we love you, do you. I think I'm pretty cool. I would happily do me. So I go out there and I do that each and every week. And I think people have taken to that, and they understand that. And they know here's a guy getting what may be arguably one of his first or certainly major opportunities, and just making the most of it. So I would be lying if I said that the Lucha Underground Championship wasn't, you know, bouncing around in my head as an eventual goal, for sure. I have been proving myself against credible opponents, and I continue to do so in the weeks moving forward. And that's something that I would, I mean, for a product and for a company that I do feel so strongly about and so genuine about, and even things like this, interviews, I'm like, I love talking about this because I actually love it. Like, anyone I talk to feels like I'm talking to my buddy about a thing I love. Who doesn't like that? So I'd love to represent this company. And yeah, so gold in one form or another is always going to be what I'm chasing in Lucha Underground.
Yeah, it seems like Son of Havoc has a very bright future. You can catch him and all the wonderful boys and girls of Lucha Underground every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. on the El Rey Network. If you don't have it, take to social media, pester your cable company, and hopefully your voice can be heard. Son of Havoc also has a Twitter. It's at MDogMattCross. Please follow him. Give him your opinions. Tell him he has an awesome beard. And when you're done doing that, head over to his Pro Wrestling Tees store, prowrestlingtees.com/MattCross, and buy an awesome Matt Cross / Son of Havoc t-shirt. It's been a pleasure, sir. Any parting words you'd like to leave us with?
I just want to say I appreciate that throwing out those plugs. Very nice.
Well, we try and
I'm also at facebook.com/mdogmattcross. You can write me. I write everybody back. You can book me. I entertain all offers. I try to be on top of that stuff and involved with people because, I don't know, if I wrote a pro wrestler back in the day and they wrote me back, I would think that was pretty cool. So I do my absolute best to get in touch with, you know, most if not everyone that drops me a line, because, I mean, the interactive nature of professional wrestling is what draws me to it and what I love about it, whether that be in and outside of the ring. You know, that's what I love about it. It's like if I'm in the ring and people have their preconceived notions of what it is, but if I'm in the ring and someone says, do that one more time, and I want to do it one more time, I will. So it's like the art is unfolding before your very eyes, so I like that interactive nature. Yeah, like I said, in and out of the ring. So, yeah, I appreciate the time to talk about my love of Lucha Underground.
Well, don't be mad at us. Tony, he had a original Backyard Wrestling Xbox video game, and we may have tweeted out a picture of a hairless Matt Cross.
Oh, yeah, why not?
That's a great way to put it.
That's part of the story. I'm not ashamed of it at all. I mean, I was in a freaking video game. I'm, like, Mario and Zelda aren't real people, and I am. And someday, like, I don't have any kids, but the kids I don't have yet that I will have, they'll have kids, and I'll be showing them stuff like that for sure. So it's been a real crazy 14 years, and yeah, I can't wait for the next 14.
Oh, man. I'm waiting for the Lucha Underground video game to come out myself. I think we need
cool
you back in the
be?
Game. That would be awesome.
I don't even want it to be like a wrestling game. Like, I feel like Lucha Underground is so awesome. You could make it like a Mortal Kombat styled game. Like, just like a straight up like fighter game, or you could make it like
an RPG, perhaps. Like
like a freaking like Double Dragon or something back in the day, like a side scrolling like crazy thing.
Absolutely.
Like the characters are just so like rich and insane. Like, you can't tell me Drago's not like already a video game character. I mean, like, I'm not even sure he's a real dude. So it's like there's so many guys that are just, yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see as we continue to grow what kind of opportunities will present themselves with that kind of stuff, because yeah, who knows? I mean, shirts and dolls and video games, I mean, they're all seem tailor-made for the product.
I do like the video game idea. Like, the more you progress, the more moves you learn. Like, there's a whole RPG thing that's going on.
You could do anything. The opportunities are endless for not only a video game, but for everything Lucha Underground. Son of Havoc, we appreciate your time. And if you want to just do us a favor, hang on before we're going to go to break, but just hang on the line, okay?
Cool, we'll do. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys, we will be right back with more wrestling talk.
That was Son of Havoc.
Why would you ruin that?
What?
We are 138!
Fun fact, Son of Havoc, a.k.a. Matt Cross, used to play in a Misfits cover band. And I think we may have talked about it when I interviewed him, like, many moons ago when we first started the podcast.
Many, many moons.
Great interview. Remember, guys, if you are a wrestling fan, the WWE product doesn't appeal to you. You don't know where to find TNA. You're miles away from PWS.
Just check out Lucha Underground. That's what
check out Lucha
say.
Underground.
Check
add that to your queue.
Repertoire.
Queue?
Is that to-do list?
Kiwi?
To say on the with the Netflix?
Yeah, all right. Can I take out 138? I'll take
so you
it
got
out.
30 seconds left.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, rock it out. All
right, Kevin,
so, put your pants on.
Kevin.
On,
Kevin
bro.
Is always good with the, like...
What, the liners?
The awkward, like, sign-offs.
All right, guys, we'll be right back.
I had to channel my inner Casey Kasem there.
He puts on, like, the hokey, like, radio DJ.
Which is what we're trained to do. I mean, like, we've listened to garbage top 40 radio for our entire lives.
I guess. So before we went to break and we talked to Son of Havoc, we were deeply involved in a King of the Ring conversation. And if you're listening to this, we're watching it live. Adrian Neville just beat Sheamus with the help of a little Dolph Ziggler.
Shot at the end of that.
Yeah, and then they had a little brawl-ski. So Neville's in the finals of the King of the Ring.
A little bit of ketchup on the mayo.
And we got Ron Killings, R-Truth.
Ron the Truth Killings. K-Quick.
Taking on Barrett.
I forgot how dark he really is.
Did they just make this like a one-hour thing?
Probably.
Is it an hour?
I guess so, because it's before SmackDown. Don't they tape SmackDowns on Tuesday?
Oh, God, I'm sure these people at the arena are really happy to be sitting through another hour of tapings.
I bet they are. I would be.
Yeah, but it would be the same length as Raw if they cut out, like, main event.
Yeah, but it could be just, like, taxing to sit there for hours.
Yeah, but it's not live TV, so they don't have to.
Why is he hopping?
Because that's what he does.
Well, this is live.
It's live. No, this is live, but when this goes off the air and they tape SmackDown, it doesn't have to be live, so they can just do matches. They don't have to plug vignettes in between.
Do-do-do-do-do. Right.
So I threw it out there on Facebook, on Twitter, and I will put it out on Facebook right now. Favorite King of the Ring. Axel Foley on Twitter said 98.
Ken Shamrock.
And 2000.
2000 was Edge or Kurt Angle.
Now, when we talk King of the Ring, I don't want to talk Foley getting thrown off the top of the cage because that wasn't a King of the Ring match.
Right.
And it had no impact on the tournament itself.
Shamrock was the one. They didn't give a crown or a robe out on that one. He just won it.
Well, the world's most dangerous man doesn't need a crown.
They were afraid he might get internal bleeding.
Right.
I don't.
Was Tony on my microphone, which will never happen again. The Ken Shamrock one, he beat the Rock in the finals, I believe. This is all offhand, so I could be wrong.
I'll tell you right now, he did. He beat the Rock.
And he didn't get the. And was that going? That was 98.
Right.
So was that going into his main event against Shawn Michaels at the D-Generation X pay-per-view? Was that 98?
Who?
Ken Shamrock. He fought.
I think that was 97.
Was that 97? Because that was after the screw job, and that's when Owen Hart started coming back around. That's right.
Yeah,
so that was 97.
The final four of that King of the Ring is awful, 98.
Well, I mean, look. All right.
Look, I'm going to tell you, your first round TV match is Vader and The Rock, Triple H, X-Pac.
Vader was a jobber at that point, though.
Owen Hart, Scorpio.
Another.
D'Lo Brown, Dan Severn.
Neither one of those were anywhere.
No. Shamrock against Kama Mustafa. Mark Henry, Terry Funk, Jeff Jarrett, Farouk, and Mark Marrow, Steve Blackman.
This tournament was a mid-card tournament with only one or two potential obvious winners. But the way that they did the brackets and who won and lost matches was always somewhat confusing. Like, the one, 93, the first, not the first one, but the rebirth of the King of the Ring. The first pay-per-view in 93.
The rebirth.
Was anyone really expecting, like, wouldn't you want to see, like, a face Bret Hart versus a face Mr. Perfect in the finals instead of Bret beating Mr. Perfect and going on to face Bam Bam Bigelow, who no one really. Like, you go back to all the finals in the King of the Ring tournament, other than maybe 2001 when you had Edge and Kurt Angle. You go back to all the finals, they were pretty. I mean, Owen Hart, Razor Ramon, too, could have gone either way.
That Bam Bam Hart match was awesome.
It was a great match. Awesome. But did anyone really believe Bam Bam had a shot in 93?
Well, wasn't there some shenanigans where he beat him? He couldn't continue or something?
Yeah, they were going to stop it and they didn't stop it. There was some nonsense that went on.
But, like, pull up the finals. I mean, we mentioned, who did Triple H beat, what, Foley, Mankind, in the finals in 97, I want to say?
I can get to it now.
Yeah, get to it. And then Austin beat Jake the Snake in 96.
You know which year had a good one? It was before pay-per-view. I want to say.
I don't remember any of those.
I don't either, but I was reading up on it a little bit today just because I was in a King of the Ring.
Like, Tito Santana won a King of the Ring.
Dude, DiBiase beat the Macho Man in the finals to win a King of the Ring.
And Bret Hart won
before. That was the year before WrestleMania 4.
What's that?
That was the year before WrestleMania 4.
When DiBiase beat Savage?
Yes. Bret Hart won in 91. They didn't have one in 92. And then he won the pay-per-view beginning in 93.
Yeah, but DiBiase won by countout.
Doesn't matter.
And the final four was DiBiase, Ron Bass, Savage, and the Red Rooster. Wow.
And what year was that? 89?
That was 88.
So was Red Rooster still heel mode, Rooster?
Wait, 88, that had to have been after WrestleMania then. That was DiBiase beating...
Well, none of them... I don't think any of it was televised.
No, but what I'm saying is Macho Man would have been champion at that time, and DiBiase was the guy that just lost the tournament final at WrestleMania.
This was in October of 88.
Yeah, so maybe that's why DiBiase won by countout, because they didn't want him going over Savage as the champion.
Go through the brackets. See if you can pull up the brackets again for this one, for this year, from the beginning. For the one that we're seeing right now, that one that we're watching.
I can tell you the brackets off the top of my head.
Okay. R-Truth.
It was Ambrose, Sheamus. It was R-Truth against...
Stardust,
right. Barrett against Ziggler.
Ooh!
And Neville against Harper.
Well, there's your final. Barrett just whopped him with the Wop Clopper.
Let's go all
the
British. Wop Clopper. All British final.
right.
So we're going to... I see. This could give some life to Barrett, I guess.
Ugh. The 91 Royal Rumble, or King of the Ring, that Bret won, it was like all tag teams. Bret Hart beat Pete Doherty in the first round in
the Duke of Dorchester.
33 seconds.
Dude. Terry Funk tried to beat Moondog Spot by convincing him to leave the match and then trying to sneak back in during the Wrestling Classic, and Moondog Spot beat him.
Undertaker and Sid went to a double DQ. How did Bret Hart always get fucking Skinner?
Maybe he liked working with
always.
Him.
Always. Ugh. Jerry Sags against IRS.
You think Jerry Sags had a gaping asshole during that tournament?
Ugh. God. Some of these can't.
Well, go back to 95. You had like the road dog or the roadie, as he was in there, going into a semifinal match against Savio.
I think Barrett's going to win tonight over Neville just because he's got two double letters and Neville only has one double letter.
And he also lost to Neville clean on the pre-show of the pay-per-view.
Oh, no. He's like the spunky rookie, but he gets to the finals and a valiant effort, he loses.
I can't imagine that. Listen, they have this Neville gimmick already. Like, he's a high flyer. There's no reason to put a King thing on him right away, especially
Got a cape.
Oh, he does. Good
he
call.
He does have a cape.
Well, does Barrett still come out with his cape?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
Oh, tribute to Vern Gagne. Very classy.
But
what's with the face?
He murdered somebody.
Oh,
he didn't murder somebody.
Yes, he did.
His
alter
demented
ego.
No, his
minded.
Alter ego. Yeah, and he's fine because he found God before he died. So
did anyone else put up a King of the Ring thing?
King of the Ring thing?
Oh, I didn't put anything on Facebook. Hold on, I'm sorry.
Ring Ding King of the Ring?
I'll put something up. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
And the King of the Ring that Brock Lesnar won in...
He was a king?
Yeah, in 2002.
Shut the front door.
Yeah, and the pay-per-view, I just watched it. He beat Test in the whatever semifinals.
Test.
And I forget who he fought in the finals. I want to say... Rikishi, but I don't know. Brock Lesnar.
RVD,
yes, because RVD beat Jericho. And then and that's when Brock Lesnar went on to fight The Rock and beat him for the belt at SummerSlam.
That was, they're showing Greg Vern Gagne beating Nick Bockwinkel back in 1980, his last title match win. Was it 80? It might have been past that. But whichever one, he won the belt and then he retired right away.
Jumping.
And then they gave it back to Nick Bockwinkel anyway, so it didn't really make a difference. But the one guy they didn't give it to was Hulk Hogan. And that's kind of the way the history goes, I guess.
All right.
So, I don't know. I mean, what else is there to say about King of the Ring? I mean
nothing really, I guess.
It was cool for the time, even especially for guys like Booker took it, and he was King Booker.
King, all hail King
Owen
Booker.
Hart was the King of Hearts. Like, King Mabel, that even worked for the time.
Yeah, if you're going to prolong it and make it a gimmick, that's fine.
My favorite part about Mabel.
What about Regal? Forgot about Regal.
Were you the motherfucker that hit me with the soda?
He beat CM Punk, I think, in the finals.
Did he turn that into a thing, though?
Yeah, he was supposed to, and then he was supposed to get a really big push, and then he got... popped for something.
Who was this?
Regal. It was just done on Raw.
Yeah, Regal. Yeah, that was around the time where Regal kept having problems.
And I think he beat CM Punk in the finals.
You are correct. He did.
And then Ken Kennedy came back during the coronation, and that did a feud with him.
Mister!
Dude, Regal was going to get pushed to the moon on that one because he was the GM and the king at the same time. If I'm not, I think I'm right on that.
You know, sure. What I miss his GM? Mick Foley was awesome.
What are you talking about? He's still a GM. Pro Wrestling Syndicate.
Ah, nice. Good reference.
Good call. But
he is the GM of Pro Wrestling Syndicate, who ran another amazing event this past Saturday in Rahway, New Jersey.
So that's it? We're done with King of the Ring?
I guess. I mean, you said what else is there to talk about.
There's really not. I mean, other than there was so many duds, I think, that wound up winning King of the Ring.
Because
Brock Lesnar didn't need it.
Yes, he did.
Do you think so?
At that point? I don't see why not. He was still a young guy. He was still just beating the crap out of quasi-jobbers.
Yeah, I guess maybe you're right thinking about it. But, you know, before he really had much.
And it got him a guaranteed match at SummerSlam with The Rock. And
I think that was the potato that Sheamus just got.
No, that was from Raw.
Oh, that was Raw?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to say he's not bleeding yet.
But, I mean, Billy got... Look at a lot of the attempts for the King of the Ring. Mabel.
Bless you.
That was to create a guy that
Thank
could
you.
Pose a legitimate threat to a gigantic world champion in Diesel. Austin was an attempt, and that worked.
Yeah, fair enough.
Triple H could have worked, and I think it ended up working in the long run, obviously, but I don't necessarily believe that the King of the Ring was
His ship sailed at that point. He really didn't need it after that.
It was more of the DX involvement that got Triple H where he was. Owen Hart, that was huge for Owen Hart.
Owen Hart needed it, yeah. I'm not saying they were all bad, but there were quite a few dogs. Dude.
Billy Gunn was a dud, but they were really high on Billy Gunn back then.
Shamrock didn't need it. There was no purpose in Shamrock winning. There really wasn't.
I mean, Edge if you winning? Think that the guy is going to be a top guy at some point, winning a tournament and getting a couple big wins is always worth it, I think. Because Shamrock was never a main eventer except for that one.
Don't get me wrong. It doesn't hurt the fact that they won.
Right.
It's just that they, like, who parlayed it into something better, I guess.
That's true, too. And Billy Gunn, he was the one that they thought was really going to develop into a top guy. And it just did not work out because they realized he couldn't cut a promo worth. You know, whatever.
Well, programming note, Chris Jericho's talking to Cavern Tits on Thursday night. Don't forget Mick Foley's Cheap Pops or whatever it's. Yeah, Cheap Pops. I can't really read it from here. It's tomorrow at 9.
Wait, you can't read that?
Dude, my eyes are going. I'm getting old.
It is blurry because it's not the one focused
on.
Right,
okay,
now.
Yeah, I can read it now. Cheap Pops. There you go. It's called Have a Nice Night. Mick Foley Night. Oh, good Lord. I got a burp.
Well, don't hurt yourself there, slugger.
Oh, you know what? You brought up belts before, and before we get into a little PWS talk, here's a little something to add to the history of the Winged Eagle belt that made its debut at the main event where Hulk Hogan lost it to Andre the Giant under controversial conditions. Apparently, the one that Hulk Hogan wore that night was specifically made for Hulk Hogan. It was two-tone, done in silver and gold, and instead of saying heavyweight across the middle, it said Hulk Hogan, but it was really hard to tell because it was done in gold and silver.
Isn't that belt, that picture that always surfaces online? Like every, like, 6 months, there's a picture of a belt that no one knows what the hell it is.
No. That's a different one. That's okay. The one with his picture on it. This is the Wing Eagle. This is the one that was around for years in some way, shape, or form. So Savage wins the belt at WrestleMania 4 a couple months later. The belt is too big for Randy's waist because it was designed for Hulk Hogan. So the first thing they tried to do was they added extra snaps to it, but it just looked stupid because the snaps were outside. Like if you look at a belt, there's a specifically tooled area where the snaps are. Like, there's a trim that goes around the snaps. But this one, they put extra snaps. So it did look stupid. So Randy takes another belt that they had made for him, takes the snaps off and makes it with Velcro. So Randy Savage, for his title reign, if you look at his belts, always had a Velcro backing instead of snaps.
Who knew?
And there you go. And a matter of fact, the belt that Hogan had was the belt that Mr. Perfect smashed. I think that was the same one. I think that was what the tie-in was, because they weren't using that belt anymore. But the other thing is, Lanny Poffo still has that belt that the Macho Man wore throughout his first title reign with the Velcro straps. Still exists, still in the same condition that the Macho Man had it in up until when he lost it to Hogan.
No shit.
And there you go. I had no idea. I never knew. Never had any idea. Just
I never knew. I never had a shamble dumb a day but do.
Thank you, Kevin.
You got it.
Yeah, about that, Kev.
Pro Wrestling Syndicate.
So tell us about PWS. Big show this past weekend.
Word.
Over 1,200 fans filed into the Rahway Rec Center to see the likes of Larry Zbysko, Brian Cage, Danny Moff, Falaba, Mario Bocara.
And
you're making fun of me for my corny radio show at the
Kevin, end. Tell us about Pro Wrestling Syndicate.
No, I mean, it was, again, packed house. Our title match with Mario Bocara against Falaba. Mario retains via disqualification thanks to one Mr. Shining Edward Jackson.
He's a douche.
You had Jake the Snake there as well. Team 3D. Great moment at the end of the triple threat tag team match with the Handicap Heroes, the Reynolds Brothers, and Team 3D, which obviously, if you follow it, Handicap Heroes retained. And then you had a great moment after the match with Team 3D. Oh, also, just on an aside, to quote Tony, check out that Handicap Heroes. You guys already did that 12-minute documentary. If you're listening to this, not sure exactly where you can find it. I know they both put it up on Twitter and Facebook, but go check that out. It's awesome. But
let me ask you a question: Is that like a preview to a bigger documentary, or was this just a 12-minute short?
I think it was just kind of like an ESPN, 30 for 30 short. Unless, yeah, I mean, I could be wrong.
I think it was just a small little film.
And it's really cool the way it's done, because you can see, like, we all know Zach. Like, we've talked to Zach on the show, and he told us he was in a bad place, when he was in WWE. Like, he thought he was hoity-toity and all this and that.
And if you saw him now, you would have never, ever thought that.
The fucking most humble, pardon, I'm using the word fucking, the most humble, like, down-to-earth, like, happy for what he's got. And knows that him and Greg have something good. You know what I'm saying? Like, just a complete, like, class act.
He's one of the guys that I look forward to seeing every month at PWS.
Him and
both
Greg.
Both of them. Absolutely. So, back to PWS. It was a great show, top to bottom. Jake the Snake.
Yeah, how did that go? He took on Kevin, didn't he?
Yeah, but that... they were supposed to, but then Shining Edward Jackson, that bad guy.
He's an asshole.
He got involved, sent his heavenly bodies out there, and they got into a match. It turned into a tag match with Jake the Snake and KM, which KM and Snake, I believe, went over. I'm pretty sure they did.
Let me ask you, because I didn't go to the show. I read the results today. The results I read, 14 matches. Is that correct?
I think it was 13, but if you count that maybe one turned into a different match, it could be 14. I remember 13, but you might not be wrong.
I'm not. I just, that seems like a lot. That's, I know, a they long have to night. Fill. They have to fill TV time.
I mean, I guess that's why they did it. I just think that they want to utilize as many people as they can on the show, and I don't know how long they want the shows to run. I can't answer that, but I mean, it didn't seem like a long night. Like. To me, but again, I'm in a different.
Yeah, but you're working, your adrenaline.
But I really
night.
Wasn't. I didn't really have a whole lot of stuff to do that night. So even watching as much as I could on the monitors, it's a big locker room, a lot of people watching. So you kind of have to kind of maneuver for a spot to watch it. But it didn't seem like it was that long to me. Again, I wasn't in the crowd, so maybe an audience member would think differently. But. It's entertaining stuff. I mean, like, guys like CPA with Larry Zbysko,
right,
getting pops of the night. Habib, and they put the Suicidal Six-Way on as the main event, as the last thing, which was amazing.
That's crazy.
Yeah, guys like Shinran, who like giving everything they got, doing all the stuff that they do. Starman, I enjoyed it just as a fan from the backstage.
Right.
Perspective. Team 3D again.
Yeah. I'm not bad. Right.
You look at a show that goes 3 hours and you're thinking to yourself, or three and change, you think to yourself, wow, seems like a long night, but, and it might have been for those there.
Well,
but.
The PWS hardcore, the fans in general are hardcore wrestling fans, so I'm sure it didn't feel like a long show. I just thought 13, 14 matches, that's a lot.
Well,
don't
forget,
night.
I mean, doesn't Beyond Wrestling typically run like 5, 6, 7 hours? I mean, it could get taxing after like 3, you know?
I guess,
as long as you're keeping people entertained.
Yeah, I mean,
nobody left.
People are entertained.
It's still
hard.
A long night, though. And plus, you gotta consider that there's autograph signings before that.
Yeah,
you know?
But no one's putting a gun to your head to do those.
Fair enough, but if you're going to go and you're paying your $20, you know, you may want to get there, see what Rob Feinstein's peddling, you know. Maybe talk to some of the locals or the regulars. Buy another shirt from KM.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I understand.
No, I mean, it's great for them that they keep getting the big houses and the TV shows getting picked up in Minneapolis and Boston. It's great, and I understand that you need all the content for TV. It just seems like a long night. But then I feel like anytime I go to PWS, because I go early to help Kevin and Eddie, it's just a long night in general. And
well, you usually get there like 3 o'clock when you're helping
out. It's, you know.
So by the time 7 or 8 comes around, you've already been there for a full day.
I crank like 4 Red Bulls. I'm good to go.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But I mean, I get there now. Like, I don't get there as early as I used to. I get down to Rawway probably around like 4:30. I check into the hotel first and then relax a little bit. And then I head over. And I get there anywhere from like 5 to 5:30, and which is nothing. Say hello to all the boys, do all that stuff. And then it's a long night, but I love it. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you get exhausted, but especially if you add in the after party.
After party.
Now,
shut the fuck up.
No, seriously.
No, shut up.
Nothing from Texas?
No.
Oh, man.
One of your exes live in Texas?
Do you have to have something for it to be an ex first, right?
Well, that's why I'm setting him up.
No. He got annoyed.
He got annoyed last week.
He got annoyed right now.
Yeah, Kevin's drinking.
I wanted to follow up to the 200th episode. All right, at least he's not going to get all butthurt and be like, why you got to bring up such a subject?
Oh, you.
What?
We talked
about him.
Okay. All right, whatever.
Fucking give a shit what some fucking dope thinks.
But,
really?
Back to Peter, don't listen
to us. Right. How do you like them apples?
Fair enough.
Right. What do they? They got the big show coming up in May with the double rings.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks. Yeah, two rings.
How is that?
What?
How is that not a sound? How do you not have that as a sound clip?
Because I don't. I have to pull the old music to get great.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
It's fine. Take your headphones off.
What? We're gonna keep going with it?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, right. Why
it's
not?
It's coming through clear. There's no need to make yourself do more work.
Yeah, but I don't know what that.
Yep.
Beckers.
The only bummer was that Terry Funk wasn't there.
Drunk Terry Funk?
Is he dead yet?
No. But
Jesus.
He was sick, so. But they announced that he'll be at Supercard, so.
With Bret Hart.
What do you have?
I just saw that right now.
And Mick Foley.
Did he have no knee-itis?
That's incredible.
Edward Jackson ate the sock again, too.
Yeah, that's right.
When is he going to fucking learn? Seriously.
When's he going to start hitting Mick Foley? Fucking just beat him up, man. Come on, Edward Jackson.
Really, Kev? I don't see you taking any shots at him when you're doing comedy with him.
Because, what?
This is getting so annoying with this echo. My God.
Just don't pay attention to it.
No, it was funny because I thought when he did that to me at that show, I thought that I had a chance to be on the WWE Network because he was filming that night.
Oh, really?
He was filming everything that night.
Oh, sure.
Now, is he going to have opening acts on this cheap pop show of his?
I doubt it. Not if it's on the network.
Well, because, you know, his buddy Kevin could use a gig, you know. Just saying.
Whoa.
That's cool.
You know? Maybe wearing a Shining Wizard shirt on the network.
I'm sure they'd love that.
At least some wrestling show will give us some recognition.
Yeah, this is pissing me off. Oh, did you guys notice that they didn't plug the ECW DVD at all last night on Raw? Oh, you guys didn't watch Raw.
They didn't?
Well, because Meanie's just been doing such a great job with it. Oh, by the way, speaking of PWS, the picture with Eddie pointing at Falabah's tits.
That's incredible.
Somebody put the Brazzers logo in the upper corner.
Jesus Christ.
I made a great joke. I said they were playing Milk Milk Lemonade.
That was you?
Yes, that was me.
That was pretty good.
I'm genius.
That was pretty good. Yeah, but it was just so, he was just pointing right at those big like Reese's peanut butter cup nipples.
I bet you squeeze them, peanut butter comes out.
You really want to anger Falabah?
I don't.
He's awesome.
But we're bros. I speak to him. I know his language. I speak ba.
Do you tell him that his nipples look like Reese's peanut butter cups on the regular? No, it's fine.
I got a picture. Dude, every night I see his picture. My kid's got his picture up in his room.
That's awesome. Does Falabah know that?
Yeah, of course. He took the picture with him. No, I don't know if he knows. Actually, I was going to take a picture of it. It's like the WWE headquarters, DDP, Falabah, and I forget, he might have somebody else on there. But he's got like a whole little collection now of like of wrestling pictures and autographs. Mm-hmm. Kind of like what we do as grown men here.
Yeah,
in
I screwed
studio.
The pooch though. I tried to get like, Foley, like when he's at those shows, he kind of keeps to himself a little bit. Like I saw him when he was doing autographs in the beginning and then basically when he was doing his stuff to go to the ring. And I tried to get a Foley for the wall, but he
Well, we got Foley on the wall, really.
Yeah, it's not Oh, he did sign it.
Oh, happy, that's right. Holy shit.
The happy birthday, Mick Foley.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So I should have tried to get
Bad News Barrett, your winner, the King of the Ring.
Damn it.
Sorry, yeah. Neville. The plucky underdog makes it to the finals and pulls a Savio Vega.
All right, well.
Well, if they can use this to push him, but they won't.
He's going to lose on SmackDown.
He's already lost. Done and done. So PWS,
speaking of done and done.
PWS overall, thumbs up.
Thumbs cool. up. Big thumbs show up. Coming up in May. They're doing the double ring. A battle bowl.
No, it's a rumble.
Was anybody throwing Tampax or streamers or anything?
Yes. They specifically made an announcement not to do it, and you will get kicked out. And there was, I don't know what it was, but it was a spot in a show that just didn't, there was nothing going on. I don't remember if it was the end of the title match, which they may have thought was the main event. And then they decided to throw like four rolls of toilet paper. And Pat was steamed. He gets on the house mic. And he's like, all right, now get the F out of my building. And the guy, I don't know who it was, but they got kicked out.
No, he was pissed off about it on the last episode of the Pat Buck Show.
It's been, I don't know how many more times you could say don't throw stuff in the ring anymore.
People are retarded.
People think it's cool when you don't do it, then they do it. It's like you're dealing with children all the time.
Then you get kicked out of the show.
There you go. It's on you. None on us.
Dummies.
I think that's it. I got nothing else. Yeah. What about you, fellas? Oh, Jeff Hardy broke his leg.
Right after him and his brother won the tag belts.
Dirt bike riding, so.
Was he doing it as Willow?
Oh, wow.
I'm crashing into the trees.
No, if he was Willow, the trees would have saved
We're
him.
We're both trees. Why would you do this to one of their own?
Jesus.
Because I'm a tree. And you're a tree.
Willow. The TNA tag titles are cursed.
I think TNA that's right. Is cursed
speaking
right
of, Davey Richards got engaged to Angelina Love.
Nice.
So congrats to former guest Davey Richards and Angelina Love.
Friend of the show, Davey Richards.
Yep. You're not a big fan of Angelina Love, though. You think she's too skinny.
No. She
used to be with Velvet.
No, wait. Wait. Yeah. Is Angelina Love the one with
the face? Yeah, she's the one with
the face. Oh, no. Angelina Love is beautiful. She's fine.
She is beautiful.
Congratulations, Davey Richards.
Pussy. Different strokes for different folks.
Look, I'm not talking about
Kevin
pussy.
Likes the girl with a mustache. I don't hate him.
For real?
What do I like with the mustache? Who has a mustache?
Every girl that I see you talking to.
Ew, Kevin. Fucking really?
That's slander, dude. I'm going to sue your ass.
Good luck. You fucking disappointed. I got a bunch of free baseball stickers I just got in the mail.
Dude, I've seen your collection of baseball memorabilia. I'll take that.
That's not mine. It's Rhiannon's.
I'll sue you both.
Oh, you'll be married. wait till they get married.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
It's not happening.
This will be forever recorded.
Breaking news.
Oh, Bad News Barrett's got a nice set of abdominals there.
Oh, you like that?
Must be on that cleanse thing.
Cleanse thing?
I don't know.
The juices?
Yeah.
That makes you poop?
I had a nice cleansing before the show started.
Oh, God. Oh, man. I right. shit your pants before.
It was like the Cosby Kids times 10.
Ugh, you're gross.
It's like somebody was purging Baltimore.
All right, enough.
Oh, boo.
Enough about your anus.
My anus.
I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
We are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, The Shining Wizards Podcast. We have a network, The Shining Wizards Network, also available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Like us, hate us, leave a review.
And Audio Boom.
And Audio Boom.
And we are still on Geek Life Radio, which is being revamped. We're on Wednesday nights, I believe 9 o'clock Central. I forget.
Holler if you hear me.
Oh, what's our Twitter now? Not our Twitter, our Facebook.
Facebook, okay.
Is it facebook.com/ShiningWizards?
Yeah, I think it's still that, right?
No, because it used to be, was it Shining, or was it Wizards Podcast now? See, Facebook hates people that have personal pages for, like, promotion. So we still have problems with that. So deal with us. If you want our updates, make sure you friend the page. Don't just become our friends on the old page. Like the new page so you'll get all the updates and all the good stuff.
Oh, wow. They announced for Supercard already. Cole Cabana versus Bully Ray.
Boom, boom.
Cole Cabana.
Boom, boom.
Cole Cabana.
All right. This echo is really fucking annoying.
Well, why do you still have them around your neck, you retard?
I can hear them, dude. My hearing is fucking fantastic.
Oh, good, but your eyes suck.
They really do.
Shout out to Smash Wrestling, smash-wrestling.com, Pro Wrestling Syndicate, prowrestlingsyndicate.com. Follow them. They are our friends. They support us. We support all independent pro wrestling.
House of Glory, houseofgloryonline.com.
Mets are losing to the Marlins.
Wildcatsports.com. Don't forget, K for cat.
What do you guys want to hear as we go out?
I don't want to hear Renee Young talking about her new show Unfiltered, which is exclusively on the network next.
Oh, I'd watch that.
You like Renee Young?
Oh, I do.
How about this?
She's like that I'm too hot for you and too smart for you and I know it. And that's hot.
You got anything?
Yeah, it's coming through.
The ladder?
It's fine. How long is this? Like 20 minutes?
No, 4 minutes to change. I can cut it off anytime you want. We'll be back next week, I think Tuesday night again, yes?
I believe so.
Yeah, I'm around for a couple more weeks. Remember, if you want to replace myself or Eddie, send an email to wizardspodcast@gmail.com. We are narrowing the applicants as we speak.
If you haven't heard back from us, that doesn't mean we haven't found your application. That just means we're calling through them.
This is going to be our tough enough.
I will be out for probably the summer and then through my wedding. And Eddie is doing big things with Pro Wrestling Syndicate. He's a very busy man. He's very involved. So who knows what he'll be back in the studio. So Kevin and Tony need somebody to sit in.
Yeah, it might be a cool little thing. Like, we haven't really decided what we're going to do, if it's going to be somebody permanent, if we might have a rotating cast of characters.
Oh, that could be fun.
You know, so we'll see how it goes.
So I'll request wizardspodcast@gmail.com. Title it Podcast Replacement, Matt Socks, or Eddie Socks.
And listen, I would never, never request people send in, like, naked pictures of themselves, because that would be just wrong. I'm not saying like your application will hurt or help if you send a naked picture of yourself.
You know our audience is majority dudes, right?
Shh, it's for Eddie. Get a Hummer or the Hummer?
All right, I'm gonna turn my microphone off and I'll let you guys.
So
listen, if Kathy Hummer wants to send anyone a naked picture of herself, who am I to stop her and who am I to judge her? What, a camera?
No, I mean, you gotta have a lot of gusto to take a picture and send it to somebody.
I usually just take them, look at it myself, and then delete them and cry. So Bad News Barrett, you're king of the ring. Matt Cross is the king of Lucha Underground, and we are the kings of wrestling podcasts. Yeah, with big titties.
He has some fucking lanky ass fingers. How come you don't have a Vern Gagne black arm pad off to that
with a VG?
too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon.
He died.
I'm still hurting.
He died yesterday.
I'm still hurting.
Allegedly.
Allegedly? You think Mean Gene would lie?
Yeah. He's probably sucking back martinis.
Holy balls. Actually, I just got an email. Vern Gagne actually just sent in his application to be the fourth wizard. He's gonna Vern, so there's some tough competition out there. Vern Gagne sent in his.
The Blind Tag Podcast has a new episode coming very soon. I have not put it up yet because I've been recording with my boys here. Phil Rea, I think they're doing a tribute to Vern Gagne on Turnbuckle Throwbacks this week.
Oh, stop.
And
dick. I know I'm a dick. It's only because I love you.
Oh, me or
no, everyone in the network.
So, yeah, and there's other good shows. I think there might be a new 2.5 Wrestlers coming. I was talking to the Jewsaurus, and he said, yeah, they're doing one soon.
That's a bromance.
I might have to reach out to him. I think we're going to Boston for a night in June.
Ooh.
At least in crash.
Ooh, maybe a live show from the Silverberg compound?
Well, no, I'm sure he'd love that.
The new performance center that he's building? Have you seen the pictures?
This is really
I'm not getting involved in that.
Show.
That was a while ago, man. Maybe things have changed.
Oh, well, Pat Buck used to hate us, and he loved us, and he forgot he came on our show.
I think Pat Buck just kind of hates everybody at some point.
No, I think we're good.
I think Pat Buck needs to hate you first, and then he'll be okay with you. So I think that's just how it goes. Yeah, kind of.
You grow up. Is that like the Skittles turning into a rainbow? Alright, we're going home.
If the mustache, if the rainbow is a mustache, Kevin fucks the rainbow.
I don't know where this is.
Good night, everyone.
Send us a picture of your favorite Shining Wizard armband, and we'll give away something.
And cockpicks. Please send cockpicks to kevin@gmail.com.
Kevin, some poor schlub named Kevin's going to get a bunch of dick pics.
And he's going to be a very happy boy.
Good night, y'all.
See you.
Peace.
And now we'll be back next week with another episode.